Well, you got to give the Yankees credit. It looks like their bats are back. Happy Mother's Day.
You are Locked On MLB. Your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans, and welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast. We talk about all of Major League Baseball. I am your host, the birthday boy, Paul Francis Sullivan. You can call me Sully. This episode is being released on Mother's Day, May 14th, 2023, which is also my 51st birthday. That's right. I've hit the Randy Johnson. I've hit the Ichiro. I've hit the Bernie Williams. What other great 51s are there other than me at this point? We're going to be talking a little bit about the rejuvenated Yankees. It takes a lot for me to say this, but you got to give them credit for holding their own in this series against the Rays, which could very easily have been a 3-0 hold for them right now. Plus, I warned you about Kenley Jansen. In fact, I've been warning about for a little bit now. The Milwaukee Brewers have decided to leapfrog the Pittsburgh Pirates, who continue their spiral. And now the Brewers are in first place. And two blown calls in Kansas City in big moments illustrate why changes in baseball have made the game better now. You can follow our podcast at Locked On MLB Pods on Twitter and Instagram. I am your pal, Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. I can't pretend to be an impartial observer when it comes to matters of the Red Sox and the Yankees. I don't pretend to be, but as is my job on this particular show, it is to talk about baseball as a whole. And I'm not going to be impartial, but I am going to be objective. I'm going to praise the Yankees when they do good things, and I'm going to criticize the Red Sox when they do bad things. Hey, how about doing both of those in this segment? You have to give the Yankees so much credit because they lost game one of that series to Tampa on Thursday. They let up the big home run to, was it Lau or Low? We need a consensus. And they fell behind the eighth inning, and they would have been down 2-0 in the series. That would have basically have put them in a hole where the best case scenario would have been a split. But then Mr. Bobblehead Rizzo, he had a pair of home runs. The Yankees offense woke up. That's been the biggest bugaboo and the bugaloos going on with the Yankees has been their offense has been dead. And the force has awakened because it was Star Wars bobblehead night with Anthony Rizzo. And they woke up. And this is what I was talking about a couple of days ago when I talked about the arrival of Judge. Whether or not he produced big or not, having him in that lineup suddenly means that piece of the puzzle takes some pressure off of some hitters, takes some pressures off of people at the bottom of the order, because you know Judge is in the middle of that lineup. And I don't think it's a coincidence that the Yankees have been on this roll since Judge has been reinserted to the lineup. Yeah. They were playing the freaking A's. But now they're playing the Rays. The Rays won that first game, took that lead late in game two, but the Yankees came storming back. And then what happened on Saturday? The Yankees fell behind early. Nestor Cortes, who was flying, fell apart. Let up the grand slam to Yandy Diaz. The Yankees were down 6-0. Six bagel with the Rays pitching staff, that's all but dead. You're thinking, okay, now the Yankees' best case scenario for them is a split, breaking even against the Rays. But Higashioka hits the home run, and then Judge shows up. Boom, home run. Boom, another home run. The Rays played it tough, and they went down to the final at bat. But 9-8. 9-8. This is the second time in two or three weeks that they've had a massive collapse. They had the big collapse against the Chicago White Sox, the big collapse against the Yankees today. Final score 9-8. Now, look it. Every team's going to lose a game or two like that. And, you know, and I think the Rays have been building up a big enough lead at this point that they can, you know, they're going to have moments. You know, this is only their 11th loss of the season. They're 30-11. Their winning percentage is 732, which is they're the only team playing above 700 ball right now. So they're doing okay. And, of course, if they win today, they can walk out and say, okay, we went to Yankee Stadium and split. But for the Yankees, this is no small matter. This is a chance to dust themselves off and say, okay, despite everything that's gone wrong with the Yankees this year, in terms of injuries, in terms of Stanton being hurt, in terms of not having anything from Rodon, in terms of some of the bonehead moves that Boone has made, they are 23-18 and looking like they're beginning to right the ship. Meanwhile, Chris Sale was fantastic for the Red Sox today. It's like they made a trade. They traded crappy Chris Sale for great Chris Sale. This last few starts have come out of nowhere for me. And today he pitched 8 innings, 9 strikeouts. And maybe they should have had him pitch the 9th. Because Jansen wet the bed on Friday night against St. Louis. And I get the mindset of Cora. I get it. Hey, look, it. You had a garbage night against the St. Louis on Friday. Get right back in there. Dust yourself and get right back in there. But that didn't happen. And next thing you know, he's had his second straight collapse. Look, it. Every pitcher who pitches in the major leagues is obviously an astonishing talent, okay? So I'm not going to say he's bad, all right? And the other thing is obviously Kenley Jansen has had a very long career. I mean, he has been – this is how many – I mean, I'm going to baseballreference.com, the single greatest website in the history of the planet Earth. This is 14th season in the major leagues, 14 seasons in the bigs. He's led the league in saves a couple of times, but I don't – really look at saves that much, not because I'm the biggest in advanced statistics, but I don't think saves tell you much of anything. The biggest moment for a reliever could be in the 7th or 8th innings. If you come in and the score is, let's say the score is 5-2 and you let up back-to-back home runs and the final score is 5-4, you still get a save, even though you had a demonstrably bad inning. Kenley Jansen, I live in Los Angeles County. In fact, I'm going to a Dodger game today, okay? I've seen a lot of Dodger games since moving down to Southern California. I've seen, over the years, a lot of blown saves by Kenley Jansen. A lot. And my criticism of Kenley Jansen has not been a new thing. I was digging up old tweets, including one I sent on September 20th of 2022 when Jansen was with the Braves. I tweeted out, no matter what happens in this game, the Braves cannot put Kenley Jansen in close games during the postseason. On April 16th, 2021, I wrote, I have been told that Kenley Jansen has converted a save before. Is there any actual photographic evidence of him earning a save? If you go back and listen to Locked On MLB on August 6th, 2021, the whole premise of the show was about how Kenley Jansen should not be put in automatically in the 9th inning because he has a tendency to blow big games. You got to go all the way back to, I mean, there's a tweet I wrote on April 22nd, 2018. Where I said he's been a crap closer since the World Series. That may be a bit harsh, and we have learned the fact that some of those bad outings against the Astros came with a little bit of trash cans going on. But Game 2 of the World Series didn't have the trash can. If he held the lead in Game 2 of the 2017 World Series, Dodgers are up 2-0. We're never talking trash cans at that point. He also blew big games the next year in 2018 against the Red Sox, who, yes, were doing a lot of shenanigans too. But once again, the shenanigans the Red Sox were doing were at Fenway. This was a game where Steve Pierce got all those big hits and blah, 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 and Jansen blew that game. There's a couple of times where they've had to turn to Clayton Kershaw out of the bullpen in critical moments instead of Jansen. And his last World Series game in for the Dodgers was 2020, where he let up the in that wild, weird hit to into right field, the walk-off hit. And where, you know, Rosarena was stumbling and bumbling and rumbling and dumbling, but he came in to score as the Rays won that walk-off game, tied the series up. Jansen lost that game. And guess what Dave Roberts did? He used Blake Treinen for a save in Game 5. He didn't turn to Jansen in Game 5. And for the clinching game, he used Julio Urias to clinch the World Series. He knew not to bring in Kenley Jansen in those high-leverage games. You know, it was Urias who also, in the one-run game to clinch the pennant, didn't turn to Jansen. And look it, closers can flame out. Closers can sometimes have short careers. Jansen's been playing for a long time. And I just knew when the Red Sox signed him, I didn't trust this move. And Jansen was fine up until a couple of days ago, but then it's starting, and they're going like, here we go. Here we go. He's had a very good career. He's a fan favorite in Los Angeles, but I've seen it. And managers, when you start finding yourself in a situation like, should I bring him in a high leverage game? Yeah, maybe I shouldn't. That's a red flag. That's a big red flag. And he doesn't have any goodwill in Boston. I hope I'm wrong about this, but I've been saying for years and years now that he's not someone you bring in. He's not someone you bring in the big high leverage games. And boy, now the Yankees have leapfrogged the Red Sox, and the Red Sox have got to go in and realize whether or not, you know, was this the right fit or not for the team? Because putting together a championship team is, you know, kind of like doing work on your car. You need to have all the pieces fit right and fit perfectly, which brings us to eBay Motors. Now, look at, if you need to get the right piece for your car, eBay Motor is the right place to go. With an eBay guaranteed fit, you can make sure that every part you need fits right the first time around. Just add your ride to My Garage and look for the green check to know the part will fit or your money back. Because just like in sports, confidence is the name of the game when you shop at eBay Motors. With over 122 million parts to choose from, you'll be back in the game in no time. After all, it's easy to bring home a win when the right parts are guaranteed. So get the right parts, the right fit, and the right prices on ebaymotors.com. Let's ride. eBay guaranteed fit only, available to U.S. customers. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. A couple of days ago, I did a podcast where I wondered if anybody wanted to win the National League Central. Well, one team seems to be stepping up to the plate, and it is not the Pittsburgh Pirates, who went into Baltimore, and the bats are gone. The bats are just gone. You know, the Pirates actually got themselves a pretty good pitching performance from Contreras today, who pitched 7 innings and let up only 2 runs against the Baltimore team that can hit. And he got a loss for his troubles. It was Tyler Wells today who pitched shutout ball, one hit ball. The Pirates got one damn hit off of Tyler Wells, who's a fine pitcher, but we're not exactly talking about Tom Glavin circa 1993 here. 8 strikeouts, 2 walks. And with that, with the last two losses and the last two Milwaukee Brewers victories, guess what? Leapfrog. The Brewers are now the first place Milwaukee Brewers. And it's funny, The Brewers won a walk-off game against Kansas City on Saturday. It ended on a walk-off sac fly. And, you know, there was a bunch of, you know, good, solid young players in there. But just going over the game, it was kind of a turn-back-the-clock night in Kansas City, because you got Salvador Perez, got big, you know, his bat showed up big time. He got an infield single, and then he hit, you know, he hit a ball that didn't get out of the infield for a run, and then hit one into the second deck to give the Royals the lead at one point. So you got one great old star in that. You had Zach Greinke was a starter for Kansas City, who, but remember, Greinke also briefly was a starter for the Milwaukee Brewers as well. And he struck out, I love the stat, his 1,000th unique hitter. That's fact. There's 1,000 different major leaguers have been struck out by Zach Greinke, who remains one of my favorite players in all of baseball. And I love to see that he's still having, you know, a good game. You know, he can't go as long anymore. He's a little long in the tooth. He pitched 5 innings, 2 runs. He struck out 5 and walked none. So he still has decent control, obviously. But another name that came up big in this turn back the clock night in Milwaukee was Christian Yelich. Got a big 2-run home run that tied the game. And you know what? You know how he brought up the Chris Sale? Is pitching like the Chris Sale that he was supposed to be? Well, if Christian Yelich starts to hit close to the way he was hitting when he signed the big, huge honking contract with the Milwaukee Brewers, that's like making a trade too. Trading bad Yelich for good Yelich? Hello. But look at the Pirates overachieved in the first month of the season, got into first place into mid-May. Are they going to fall off a cliff? I hope not. I find this Pirates team to be insanely likable, and I'd like them to do something right now to kickstart the offense. But this is a big thing for Milwaukee, because they do have the pitching to do this, and they might have the bats, especially if Yelich starts to play well. And this seems to be a wide-open National League Central. Coming in and leapfrogging, as I said, the first real checkpoint of the season is going to be in a couple of weeks. If the Brewers are looking pretty good there, they might look up and say, maybe we won't trade Corbin Burns. Maybe we won't start dumping players over the side as if the boat is sinking. You know, right now, I mean, obviously it's not a massive lead that they have. It's only a game and a half, and it will take a mild losing streak and a mild Pittsburgh winning streak to take them right back out again. But hey, Roddy Telez has hit his share of home runs. You know, their offense hasn't been great, but if Yelich starts to dust himself off, and if they can ever get anything out of Adames and Anderson, the one thing they can do is we know they can pitch. We know Burns is a good pitcher. We know Peralta is a good pitcher. We know Wade Miley's a good pitcher. If they can continue to, you know, none of them are off to a Cy Young caliber start, but there's, you know, 3 decent pitchers right there. If they get Lauer pitching well too, and you know, seeing who else they can get. Ray right now is out of the 5th spot, but they have Devin Williams, who's a good reliever. They have Wilson, who's pitching well. They have Peguero, who's pitching wonderfully. The first few games that Varland has thrown they've been pretty good. What the Brewers need right now is love, sweet love, but what they also need is they need a big thumper. They need to see if someone is going to trade away a bat. And I don't know if the White Sox fall out of contention or if they want to kick the tires at a couple of players that the A's have, who, you know, the A's have been able to get a big home run here or there. I think the Brewers should do that sooner rather than later. I think the Brewers should seriously consider, it doesn't have to be the big blockbuster move, a move for a hitter. Because first of all, you don't know. Maybe a hitter who's on a team that's spiraling or, you know, stumbled out of the gate would be rejuvenated. Think, oh my God, I'm in a pennant race now. and, you know, start to play well under those circumstances. But it also sends a message to the team. You know, there was a scenario, a very easy scenario to imagine, that the Brewers, if they stumbled out of the gate, that they would be starting to trade players and dumping players over the side. If they make a move, again, even if it's a small move, not talking about a massive blockbuster Shohei Ohtani trade, just for a major league bat, you know, someone with some ability that they're sticking into. I mean, let's look at the Nationals have someone. I'm opening up the Nationals page right now. Who's their big one that they could potentially trade? God, they don't have much of anybody right now. I was going to say Dominic Smith. Or, you know, Joey Menzies. All right? Let's just take Joey Menzies right now. I mean, is he a great player? No. Is he a capable hitter? Yeah, he can hit. You know, he could be an addition to the team. He had a little bit of pop last year. You know, he's last year was his rookie year, but he's in his 30s. He's not part of a long-term plan. Is he a game changer? Is he like acquiring Robin Yount in his prime? No. But again, if you see there's a need on the team and they do need offense on that club, if you can at least say, hey, here's another bat. Let's see what happens. At least you're showing the team, yeah, we're on your side. We're going to make a run at this. And this is real. Brewers, look at this is, again, me being objective. Of all the teams in that division, I'd love to see the Pirates do something. And the Pirates should probably make a move or something like that, if in order to send us to their teams, I'm like, okay, we have your back too. But the Brewers know they need to have some sort of thumper in that lineup. And trying something is the right message at this point. I want to give a quick hello to my mom, who is listening. It's Mother's Day. I love you, Mom. All the moms out there, happy Mother's Day to you. Happy Mother's Day to Lisa, the mother of my two boys, who's doing a wonderful job as a mother for all these years. And there's going to be a lot, you know, my mom was a big part of why I became a baseball fan. Her love of baseball and the books that she had. When I got a hold of all my mom's books from the 50s about baseball, and I just consumed them all and got to learn all about the game. And I love that. And thank you, Mom, for that. And Lisa bought me tickets to the Dodger game today, so for my birthday. So thanks a lot. By the way, on the day I was born, I mentioned this last year, Willie Mays played his first game for the Mets on May 14, 1972, and hit a game-winning home run as a member of the Mets to beat the Giants on the same day I was born. A lot of changes in baseball, even in my lifetime. And one of the best changes, some of the things they've done to baseball, I'm not a big fan of the universal DH. I'm not. I liked having the two sets of rules. And if there's going to be a uniform sense of rules in terms of that, then the leagues no longer mean anything. And we should just realign and make everything geographical. Okay. And I hate the runner on second and extra innings. I just think that's not even baseball. But I had been screaming for many, many years. I made the video about it back in 2011 or 2012. I can't remember which exact year. I'll post it on the Twitter feed, Locked On MLB Pods. Made a video back then saying we need to have instant replay. We need it. We need it. We need it. And we got it now. And that is one of the things, instant replay, and they've refined it. And they've made, they had to make some, there were some bumps and bruises and when they were implementing it. But ultimately, we have instant replay, and that's good. And I can prove to you it's made the game better. And sadly, I'm using the recent death of someone to illustrate something. Don Dankinger died. Don Dankinger was a major league umpire for decades and made many, many correct calls over the years. Unfortunately for Don Denkinger, he is always going to be associated with probably the most famous blown call in the history of baseball. And that was in Game 6 of the 1985 World Series. In the ninth inning, the Cardinals were winning by one run. Brian Harper had broken a scoreless tie. The Cardinals were three outs away from winning the World Series. Todd Worrell, rookie fireballer, was on the mound, who was going to eventually become a all-star closer many times over. George Orta of the Royals hit a ground ball to first baseman Jack Clark, who fed to Todd Worrell at first base. Denkinger called Orta safe. To the naked eye, it looks like Orta was out. They showed the replay. He was clearly out. But there was no replay back then. The Cardinals knew they got hosed. Their concentration went to crap. Jack Clark, the first baseman of the Cardinals, dropped an easy pop-up. Daryl Porter, the normally completely reliable catcher who was the World Series MVP in 1982, allowed a pass ball. The Royals rallied. They scored two runs in the bottom of the ninth to force a Game 7. Game 7 was a laugher, 11-0. Joaquin Andujar was screaming at the umpire, especially Denkinger. He got tossed. The Cardinals looked like they were disheveled. Now, people who feel that Denkinger was, there are people who feel he was unfairly blamed for the outcome of the 85 World Series. Besides, if Jack Clark doesn't miss an easy pop-up, if Daryl Porter plays decent defense, if the Cardinals say, okay, dust yourself off, let's move on. Let's try to get a double play. Let's try to erase that. And then, of course, Denkinger didn't cause the 11-0 blowout in Game 7. But baseball is a series of chain reactions. One event leads to another. The way you set up the defense, the way you set up the pitching situations. It's not just replaces one event with something else. It sent the blown call on the Orta hit sent the trajectory of Game 6 of the 1985 World Series on the wrong path. If there was instant replay, the Orta call would have been reversed. Denkinger getting it wrong live would have been a footnote that everybody would have forgotten. It would have been an obscure event. Orta grounded out. He was originally called safe, but the replay showed he was out, and you move on. In another critical World Series game played in Kansas City, Eric Cooper called Eric Hosmer safe on a ground ball in the seventh game of the World Series between San Francisco and Kansas City. Hosmer was called safe. The call was reviewed and overturned. Now, the trajectory of that inning would have been changed if Hosmer was called safe. You don't know if, like, if someone would have gotten a hit, if the defense would have been played differently or anything like that. I bet you anything you forgot that happened. I'll bet you anything you forgot a close call was overturned in what turned out to be a one-run game in Game 7 of the World Series. Once again played in Kansas City. Of a game that ended with a tying run on third base and the run that would have won the World Series at the plate in the form of Salvador Perez, who we saw today launched an upper deck home run and became the World Series MVP in 2015. He was facing Madison Bumgarner, who now we know was had one of the most dominant moments in the history of baseball. But who knows? He may have hung one. He may have let up the wrong pitch. Or maybe the Royals would have taken that hit by Hosmer and started a rally, one that the Giants wouldn't have been able to come back from. because the series of events that started from that call that Cooper made that was incorrect, and Hosmer was originally called safe, he was called out, the trajectory went the correct way. The critics of instant replay before it was implemented was it was going to take away from the human element, of which I say pish posh. The human element is still there. Errors are made. Managers can make dumb decisions. Defenses could be aligned one way. The batter could swing at the wrong pitch. A guy could be picked off at first. Those are the human elements. But if someone does something on the field, if they make a catch, if they get an out, that should be recorded for what that player did. The human element shouldn't be there to erase reality. Instant replay confirms reality. Orta was out. Now, if Orta was out back in 1985, and then a wild series of events happened and the Royals came back to win anyway, that would have been the human element, and that's what should have happened. Instead, Denkinger, who had a very long career and got many, many calls right, is forever remembered for the call he got wrong. And that stinks. Absolutely, that stinks. Because he should be remembered for a long career, correct calls, and probably handling most games really well. Instant replay not only would have confirmed reality, like it did on the Eric Cooper, Eric Hosmer move, but also would have cleaned up Denkinger's legacy and memory. When Eric Cooper retired, no one mentioned what happened in that World Series. Do you know why? Reality was confirmed. And I'm confirming that I'm going to be doing these shows, and I may even do one from Dodger Stadium. We got a bunch of stuff happening this week, and I'm looking forward to it. So go to Locked On MLB Pods on Twitter and Instagram. I am your pal, Sully. I'm on Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. About to celebrate my birthday. Wishing you all a happy Mother's Day. Wishing the Red Sox would stop using Kenley Jansen as a closer. Realize that the Yankees very well might be back. Saluting your first place Brewers and saying, Don Denkinger, reality wasn't your friend. This is Locked On MLB for the 14th day of May, 2023. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.